Ed Swenson tells about a foolish miner from the Park Country, about early mail services to the settlement, about the first alfalfa grown there, and about an accident that could have killed his father, and its funny aftermath.
Now, first, it is about the miner. I did want to get down what you remember about him because a couple of people in Troy have mentioned him. This guy whose name was probably Nilsson.
Yeah.
So what did you hear about? What did you know about him from when he mined?
Well, he was a very modest, quiet man. And stayed by himself pretty much. He came to our place a few times and talked about his mining and his work down there. But he was not very clear in his ideas about things, so we didn't get very much of it. But he did do some drilling and blasting. He would sink a shaft instead of tunneling and drill down a little ways and then put in a small charge of dynamite and blast that loose and then clean that out and then drill down a little further. But he never did go to any depth at all. If he didn't find gold where he was drilling, he'd shift over to some other place and start another little shaft there, and sort of work around, but he finally gave it up. He began to get older and he gave it up, and he'd come around and visit and talk about his place down there. He didn't do any plowing or clearing of land because his house was part way down the canyon. He built his house on a little spot of level land and cleared a little for a few fruit trees and a garden, and that was about it. Then in later years we didn't hear more about him because we moved away from there. So I really don't know what happened.
What was the story that they told about him almost having an accident one time? This about him almost having an accident?
Yes, at one time he was working in his mine and was down a few feet and he didn't have much money to spend for dynamite and fuse, so he cut his fuse pretty short and he set a charge and he climbed out, but he fell back in again and almost didn't make it. He just got out in time to be safe on that. And that kind of frightened him so that he didn't go very deep with his work. And he finally quit it altogether.
And you also said that he was religious. He had some ideas about
Yes, he claimed that he would have revelations from God at times about how to live and how to do. And one day a strong wind came and the trees bent with the wind, and he said that God revealed to him there that we should be humble and bow our heads in reverence to God.
Now, there's...
At one time he came to my brother's place and My brother asked him to stay overnight. He stayed into the evening, so he decided to stay overnight. And then he told my brother that he was going to die that night. God had revealed to him that he was going to die. So he said goodbye to my brother before he went to bed. And next morning, my brother looked into the bedroom and he was sleeping soundly. So my brother made a noise to kind of wake him up, and then he rushed over to the bed as though he was going to carry him out of there. And Nelson said good morning, and my brother said he was surprised. He said, "I'm surprised that you're still here."
He said, "What?"
He said, "I'm surprised that you're still living, because you said that God was going to take you last night." So the man kind of smiled sheepishly and said that he wasn't going to go that time.
Oh, that's a good story. So I guess he didn't take him too seriously.
No, of course not. Often he'd make remarks, you know, that didn't have any meaning. But he was harmless. He had, you might say, friendship with all people, because he meant well, and he never argued on a point to cause any hard feelings. So whenever he came to our place, we'd ask him to stay a while and have dinner with us and talk a while, and he seemed to enjoy that. So. But he didn't mix into conversation about anything except just what he was doing and how he felt.
Well, I wanted to ask you too about how you mentioned this morning that the alfalfa started getting grown in the country.
About what?
How the alfalfa started getting grown.
Yeah. At first, the farmers at Park didn't think alfalfa would grow there because the season was shorter. They knew that alfalfa did well down in the Lewiston Valley. So one day, one of my neighbors brought home a handful of seed, and he planted a little row in the garden there in the spring, and the alfalfa did very well. So then people began to buy seed and seed the land down to alfalfa for hay instead of oats. And after that, they had alfalfa on all the farms there.
So that was the beginning of it, just this little
yeah, just a little short row of alfalfa. I can remember he was so proud. He was the first man that had alfalfa on his farm.
Who was he?
Steiner Hellrud. He was an uncle to Helmer and Steiner over here.
Another thing that you mentioned to me once before was about the beginnings of the post office in Park, how that came about. Could you tell me that?
Yes, at first we got our mail over on Texas Ridge at a place called Anderson Post Office. There was a little grocery store there. And eventually then, after the valley began to get settled, people wanted a way to get the mail a little closer, so they called a meeting in the schoolhouse and discussed this matter, and then they applied to the government to get a post office, and they submitted the name Park Post Office because the valley looked so much like a park, and this was accepted, and a Park Post Office was establish them. So then, twice a week, somebody would volunteer to go over to Anderson to pick up the mail and bring it over to Park Valley, and one of my neighbors was appointed to distribute the mail. So those days when the mail was brought in, we would go over there and get our mail. At that time, there was no parcel post system, so it was just the first class mail and a few newspapers and things like that. So the mail could be brought on one horse.
This man then became the postmaster.
A man named Andrew Hillerud was the postmaster. And this carried on until eventually a little store was built up there, and then the post office was moved over to there. So they had the mail there, and then the route was changed over to Southwick, Idaho. So our address was to Southwick, Idaho, and the mail was brought, and a rural route was established, so that part of that route between Park and Southwick was where a little post office was established at the farm site on Cedar Creek. And the Park mail was brought over that far, and then a rider would go over to that place to get the mail and bring it to Park. And boxes were put up along the route so that he would deliver the mail on that end of the route between there and Park post office. The name of that little place was Linden Post Office, and the mail was opened there, and the Park mail was put in a separate mail bag to be sent to Park.
When was that switch made about, do you know, from
that would be about long about 1907 or along in there.
Was much trading ever done with Kendrick from Park?
Well, people living in that part of the valley closer to Kendrick would go there to do their shopping, but most of it went to Troy.
Well, I have one more thing to ask you about, and that is, I'd like you to tell me a little about why you are so interested in history and how you happen to remember so much of the old days.
Well, I was the youngest boy in our family, and I stayed with my parents as I grew up, and spent so much more time at Park and in the district surrounding there, so that I can remember how the environment changed from time to time. And I often think back to those times so that it kept fresh in my memory. Until we moved away in the fall of 1910. After that time, there has been many changes made so that the valley really doesn't look like it was at first there.
But you have spent quite a bit of time thinking about it in later years.
After my wife died in the year 1955, I was more lonesome, and when I had idle time, I would begin to think back more about the early days and up to that time, and that is how I can remember it. So.
Do you feel that before you left Park, that these changes were in the environment were small changes?
Pardon?
Do you feel that when you were in Park up until 1910, these changes that you saw were small changes?
Yes, the things didn't change very much during those years. The original homesteaders were almost all there, and the work carried on didn't change much from year to year. But after the pallet company had taken the timber out, and the times began to get better, then some of the old-timers moved to other places. They sold their land because other people came that wanted to settle in there and brought in more machinery and livestock. And some of the old-timers had died, so the neighborhood began to change hands there from year to year.
Can you remember the names of the first homesteading families that were in Park when you arrived?
Yes. You mean the ones that were living there when we came? There were two brothers, Andrew Hellrud and Steiner Hellrud. And their sister married my oldest brother, and he came west just about a year after the Hellruds settled there. Then the other homesteaders there at that time was Ole Targerson and Mr. Gilliberg and family, and Pete Inger. He was a bachelor or a single man at that time, and Henry Jurgensen, a bachelor, and Mr. Goldstrom. I do not remember his given name. Mr. Goldstrom and Mr. Jurgensen were the first two men that ever came to Park. They were miners. Or did I mention
you
that?
Did. You told me about them. I'd also like to know who, if you can remember, who the families were that came soon after your
after
family.
After we came there, that would be Mr. and Mrs. Oscar Boone and family, and Mr. Rickway. I cannot remember his first name.
What's his last name?
Pardon?
What was his last name?
Rickway.
Rickway?
R-E-Q-U-A.
How do you spell Bone?
B-O-H-N for Bone. And Mr. and Mrs. Lars Cohen. Before that, they farmed out that Genesee Valley. And Tom Ellingson, a bachelor, Mr. and Mrs. I don't remember the first name, but their last name was Targerson also. And Edward Ruberg. Ellen Gullingsrud was one of the old timers. And I believe that was all that.
Mm-hmm. Would you be willing to make up, to draw up a list of these names for me when you get back down to Southern Idaho? Would you be willing to draw up a list of these names for me when you get back down to Southern Idaho so we can have the spellings right?
Yes.
That'd be very good. If you send that to Viola, well, I'll get it from her.
Yeah. Send it up here.
Yes. Okay, there's just one more question that I think I have, and that is the reason that did other families besides your father's work out at the in Genesee Valley?
Oh yeah, nearly all of them had to go up to get a grub stake, you know.
Is the reason that they worked there because they spoke Norwegian in Genesee Valley too?
Yes, that was a Norwegian settlement.
Were there many people that were related to people from there or who knew them from the older times?
I can't say about that. You mean as a neighborhood there?
Yeah, like families that were related from one to the other.
No, I can't remember that there were because I never knew of any two families that had the same name. So they must have been people from other parts of the east or west.
Did other people from Park, who came to Park, come as you did because they had relatives in Park?
Not so many. Later settlers that came in there had different names and were from different and just put some posts in the ground and put a whole roof on and shake. The sides were still open. It was just to kind of keep the snow off the wood, you know. So he and my older brothers were going to kind of remodel it one day, and in doing that, one of them had taken off a brace that supported the framework there. His father was underneath the roof there, just about in the center of the shed, along a big post there. And the shed started waving and fell. And father fell. It so happened he fell right alongside of this post. That saved perhaps his life. And my older brothers, right away, they tore open the roof to get father out. Well, a neighbor named Ole Sundby was breaking up the first piece of land that was broke on that place, about an acre of ground. He was breaking there close by, and looked back and saw the woodshed laying flat on the ground, and they were taking father out, and he came running, but by the time he got there, father was on his feet and wasn't injured, so he and Mr. Sundby was always teasing each other, so father said, "What are you coming for now?" He says, "You're too late to do anything." Father had a pair of new shoes on, and Ole said, "I didn't come to help you." He said, "I thought maybe I could get your shoes." That was a lot of sympathy, wasn't it?
I suppose they joked with each other a lot in those days.
Yeah, they sure did. They sure did. Those that knew each other pretty well and knew their habits and their ways of doing and knew that they could take a joke, but they'd sure lay it on sometimes.